When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Decoding the Unknown, the show where one of my writers, in this case, Ilza. Thank you, Ilza, has written me a script. Megalodon. Is it really? Didn't they make a movie about Megalodon recently? In the last few years. I feel like I remember seeing adverts for that being like, this is really great. And then I never went to see it and probably forgot about it, probably because it was a bit shit. Is it really gone? I don't know. This is one of those ones where it's like, I mean, probably, but also the oceans are really big and people like James Cameron are always going down there in their little submarines and discovering new shit. So maybe, I don't know, maybe one day I'm going to open up the news in the morning and it's going to be James Cameron destroyed by a megalodon. And I'll be, goddamn, okay. James Cameron just loves being underwater for some reason. What's up with that guy? Let's jump in. In the depths and darkness of the wild oceans it lurks, cold and merciless. It kills everything in its path, devouring whales like a toddler devours cupcakes, with a bite force 6 times stronger than a T-Rex. I don't know, is that a useful like point of comparison? Because I've never seen a T-Rex. It was many millions of years before the entire human species was around. Unless you believe in that 6,000-year-old Earth thing. In that case, Jesus Christ, you need to be decoded. I've never seen a T-Rex bite anything exactly, but that sounds really impressive. It's the terror skulking behind the waves, the bogey shark that'll steal away little dolphins and whales, not listening to their parents and eating their veggies. It's the monster roaming the seas, haunting our dreams. It's the megalodon shark. Close the beaches, Chief Brody. I've never seen Jaws, but even I know that reference. If that's not Jaws, though, that's going to be really embarrassing. I'm pretty sure it is, right? That's Jaws. Why have I not seen Jaws? Or maybe I've seen Jaws, but when I was a kid. Not so fast. While I appreciate a good monster story as much as the next guy, before we grab our spear guns and hop on our speedboats, is the megalodon even real? Unlike many other cryptids that we've looked at and hopefully will look at in the future, the megalodon was very real. The monster existed, so that mystery is decoded already. The mystery we're interested in today is whether the shark is still around, ending lives and hunting things. So let's find out. Meet Meg. As you probably guessed from the introduction, the only shark movie that I ever saw is Jaws. Most people might be more familiar with the 2018 movie, The Meg. That's it. Is that with Jason Statham? This is the god Jason's... Hey Siri, who starred in the movie The Meg from 2008? Siri's so shit, it's already, like, trying to tell me about my web results before I've even finished speaking. Hey Siri, fuck you! Says won't respond to that. Well, what the... Siri's so shit. Why can't we start using some of that ChatGPT technology in Siri? That'd be nice. Combine it with some voice recognition stuff. Boom. Maybe we'd have something actually useful. It's based on a book by Steve Allen about a megalodon shark terrorizing people, because apparently that's what sharks do. Based on the reviews, I'm glad I missed it, but like all monster movies, it did a wonderful job of completely misrepresenting the megalodon and sharks in general. So let's start this script with meeting the actual megalodon. Wait, The Meg, 2008. Now I'm curious. The Meg. Tell me it's starring Jason. I'm such a big brain. It is starring Jason Statham. That's a movie that I didn't see from 5 years ago. It gets 42% on Rotten Tomatoes and 46% with the critics. So the critics rated The Meg higher than audiences. That's one of those movies where you're expecting it to be like critics, 4%, audience like 68 or something. And you're like, cool, I'll enjoy that movie. It's one of those movies, it's like, you know, I'm going to enjoy this movie and I'm not going to have to think very much about it. Whereas, like, some critics' movies get very good reviews, and then I like them, but it's like, I know I'm going to have to think about it. Like, what did that pig movie get? Pig. Rotten. That's going to be like, it's going to be in the 90s on Rotten Tomatoes. Now, honestly, it's probably in the 90s with the audience as well, because it's absolutely cracking. 97% with the critics, 84% with the audience. So people still really liked it. It's such a good movie. If you haven't seen that, you definitely should. Sharks are pretty amazing. They appeared in the fossil record about 420 million years ago, and they've been with us ever since. The Megalodon, literally meaning giant toothed shark, was the largest and most fearsome shark that ever roamed the oceans. It lived around 23 to 2.6 million years ago and could be found off of every continent except Antarctica, because there are some places even Megalodon wouldn't go. Truthfully, the whale shark at 39 feet, 12 meters, might actually be the largest shark. But since when do we let fact get in the way of a good story? All the time, Ilza! It's literally what this channel is about! It's like, oh, there's a good story about a ghost in a house. And then we come along with a fact that the person just, you know, their stove was leaking carbon monoxide and they were seeing things. And we shit all over the interesting story with facts. Ilza, it's literally what we do. Sharks don't have bones. Their skeleton is mostly cartilage, which doesn't fossilize. So the only thing researchers really have to work with is the teeth. Using, oh my God, that's kind of creepy, isn't it? The only thing we have is just like teeth everywhere in just like perfectly aligned shark mouth shape. And you're like, that belonged to a really big shark and we know nothing about its body. What if it was just had a really huge mouth and a tiny body? Or what if it had a huge body and the mouth was tiny? Like, relatively. Wow. What incredible thoughts you have, Simon. Incredible thoughts. You guys get that reference, The Lonely Island? Yes. Using the found teeth and the odd vertebrae, researchers use modern sharks as a comparison to draw up the Megalodon spec sheet. Imagine reconstructing a giraffe using teeth and other antelope existing in the same region for comparison. Odds are you're not going to get a very accurate picture. The idea we have of Megalodon today is based heavily on the great white shark. Both Megalodon and the great white were apex predators holding the same place in the food chain, and for a long time scientists considered the two sharks closely related. However, new research suggests that Megalodon and the great white actually coexisted, so scientists now believe that the two were different species of sharks and not actually related at all. Megalodon was the last of the megatoothed sharks with no living descendants, so we'll probably never know what Megalodon really looked like. Everything we know about Megalodon, other than it had really big teeth, the biggest found to date measuring 7 inches, that's 18 centimeters, holy shit, that's a big tooth. Oh my God, I don't want that thing in the oceans. I hope it's dead and has been dead for millions of years. Oh my. And you know, if a movie's got Jason Statham in it, it's gonna be a pretty badass shark. Because Jason Statham's gonna have to take it out, and he's pretty hard. Everything else we know about is an educated guess. Megalodon was big. We're talking about 33 to 60 feet. That's 10 to 18 meters for those outside of the US. That's a big shark, dude. Some scientists feel that the average megalodon was probably only about 33 feet or 10 meters in size, with bigger sharks being the exception rather than the rule, while others feel the average size was probably closer to 50 feet or 15 meters. Your average great white, for comparison, only reaches between 11 and 16 feet, that's 3.3 to 4.8 meters. It was also quite fast considering its size. Tooth marks and teeth found in fossilized whale bones tell us this shark was an apex predator and probably aggressive. At 50 tons, it had to be in order to hunt enough food to stay alive. The megalodon's jaw could span between 8 and 11 feet, 2.7 to 3.4 meters wide. That's big enough to easily swallow two adults side by side. Why do we have to make that comparison? This thing went extinct millions of years ago. I don't want to think about it eating a family. Jesus. Thankfully, Megalodon's menu didn't include humans. Yeah, we weren't around at all for like millions of years. Mostly because we weren't around yet. The sharks preferred whales, seals, sea cows, dolphins, other sharks, and turtles, among other things. Most predatory sharks won't stick their noses up at scavenging, so while Megalodon was a hunter, not a scavenger, if the opportunity presented itself, I'm sure Meg made good use of it. Predatory sharks can also be cannibalistic, so it's quite possible that older sharks occasionally snacked on juveniles, and the strong pups munched down on their weaker siblings. Being an apex predator itself, it's also unlikely that Megalodon had any natural predators. I learned a really unpleasant fact the other day, and I've been thinking about it. I don't know why I've been thinking about it. It's going to make me sound like a right psycho. But I always thought, and I think it's just because I saw some movie back in the day, that eating other humans gives you, like, brain disease, like that Kuru prion brain disease, or it just, like, does other things to you, or it makes you, like, sick and then you die. But apparently not. Apparently, as long as you've not got that prion disease or whatever, which is mostly kept in the brain anyway, like eating people, like if you've been in some crash or something, I always thought, well, yeah, we're gonna have to risk it by eating the dead passengers who were like frozen in the Andes or whatever, but apparently it's fine. And I can't believe I made it until like 35 years old just assuming that eating other people was like not just morally repugnant, but it also made you sick and then you died. And then I found out, no, you could totally snack on other people. And I've been like, my world has been shaken up by this. I've been missing out. I mean, not really, but it is. Did anyone else think that you'd get a disease by eating other people, or was that just me? And then it just like shook my worldview. Just can't believe we're not snacking on each other more. Being an apex predator itself is also unlikely that Megalodon had any natural predators. We're not sure what caused... Sorry, I know I don't. I'm going to go on another tangent right now. Like, you know when I've got like two kids, and you know when they're young, and they are young now, you're teaching them like, what sound does a cat make? Meow! Or like, what is a cat? You know, they'll be like, meow, what is a dog? A dog goes woof. I taught my kid, so when someone asks her, what is a tiger? She'll say, a tiger is an apex. She'll be an apex predator. She's like, what's a cat? Meow, what's a dog? Woof, what's a tiger? A tiger is an apex predator. I don't know why I did this. I just found it really funny. Like, so when teachers ask and stuff, she'll be like, it's an apex predator. It just sounds super smart. She has no idea what apex predator is, of course, but it just amuses me because I'm a simple man. So we're not sure what caused the Megalodon's extinction or the exact date the last Megalodon left this world for the shark afterlife, but most researchers concur that it was toward the end of the Pliocene era, when the planet faced a period of global cooling. The continents of North and South America collided, cutting off the Central American Seaway and with it the increased flow of warm equatorial waters that was possible, while the Atlantic and the Pacific Oceans were connected. For the Megalodon that was adapted to tropical and subtropical waters, this was very bad news. The cooling oceans led to a major loss of habitat for the shark, and dropping sea levels meant Megalodon nurseries on the coasts were lost, exposing vulnerable pups to other hungry predators. Oh no, they were victims of climate change! For real! The global currents also changed, and the temperature of the oceans dropped dramatically, which had a major impact on ocean life in general. Researchers believe that up to a third of the ocean mammals went extinct, along with 43% of turtles and 35% of seabirds. In the time of Megalodon, there was an estimated 20 different genera of whales, whereas today we only have 6. It's possible that much of the prey Megalodon relied on to support its immense size either went extinct or migrated to colder waters, where Meg couldn't follow. Yeah, it'd be like, if I it's like I can handle the it's slightly colder over there and there's no super predators. I'm just gonna deal with the cold. It'd be like, do you want to stay in the warm house where there is a tiger, or do you want to live in the shed where there is no tiger? I'd be like, shed. I'll stay in the shed, thank you. It's cold, but there's no tiger. We really didn't need that analogy. I just liked it. On top of dwindling food sources, it's speculated that the Megalodon also had to compete with other existing predators like the leviathan whale and new emerging predators like the great white shark, as well as aggressive sperm whales that are now extinct, and the orca, or killer whale, for what was left. Killer whales are highly intelligent and social hunters, hunting in groups or pods. A juvenile Megalodon would have been no match for a pod of hungry killer whales. The killer sperm whale was warm. Killer sperm. Ah, I'm a child. Was warm-blooded and could follow the prey wherever it went. It also hunted in groups, whereas Megalodon was most likely a solitary hunter. With the great white and orca being smaller and needing less food than Meg, their chances of surviving a food shortage were considerably better. In the end, Megalodon's huge size and dietary needs were its biggest disadvantage. Megalodon might have been able to fight off extinction had it been faced with only one obstacle, but the combination of a cooling ocean, fierce competition, with the competition occasionally munching on Megalodon's pups chomping down on each other, and prey going extinct and migrating into colder waters, finally led the last Meg meeting the shark gods, ending the line of Megatooth sharks. Or is that simply what they want you to believe? Oh, now we get into the mystery. Megalodon still exists. Over the last century, sightings of gigantic sharks have been reported all over the world. Yeah, so have ghosts. It doesn't make them any more real. Since we have no idea what Meg actually looked like, many cryptozoologists and Megalodon groupies firmly believe that these sightings are proof that the mighty Megalodon is not as extinct as scientists would have us believe. Many of these sightings, like the video of the Megalodon in the Mariana Trench, have been debunked. So I'm only going to look at a few sightings that aren't as easily explained. The David Stead sighting. In 1980, an Australian naturalist, David Stead, recorded the tale of a group of local fishermen at Port Stephens, Australia. For several days, the fishermen refused to return to their fishing grounds at Broughton Island. What they had encountered out there frightened them so much that they were willing to give up their only source of income to stay out of its way. Stead and Mr. Patton, the local fisheries inspector, interviewed the men and heard the following tale. While fishing for crayfish off of Broughton Island in deep waters, the fishermen encountered an enormous shark. The shark went from crayfish pot to crayfish pot filled with catch and chomped it down, mooring lines and all. The pots were about 3 feet, 6 inches in diameter, that's around 1 meter, and contained 2 to 3 dozen decently sized crayfish weighing several pounds each. Whoa, crayfish are huge! Isn't a crayfish like that weird crab-like thing? So big, wow. These were experienced fishermen, well acquainted with the seas and its inhabitants. Salty sea dogs! And they all agreed that they had never seen anything like it. They were also firm that it wasn't a whale. It was a shark. Size estimates differed from one storyteller to the next, ranging from 115 feet, that's 35 meters, to 300 feet, that's 90 meters long, which seemed a little absurd even to Stead. The men claimed that the water seemed to boil whenever the shark swam past or surfaced, and the shark had a ghostly white color. This is kind of intense. It's got to be a whale, right? Like bubbling water coming off of its spouty thing at the top. But they were swearing it's not a whale. Maybe it was just a mutant whale. Maybe it was a whale with like birth defects or something. So did our fishermen have an encounter with the suddenly not so extinct megalodon? Both Stead and Patton agreed that the men saw something. And I'm also inclined to believe that they did. Yeah, why would they make it up? And then they're making up such a story that harms them because they're not going out to get more crayfish. While Stead didn't think the shark was nearly as large as the fishermen claimed, he considered the possibility of it being a megalodon. Since he held a PhD in biology and the shark spotted was never identified, megalodon believers cite this as proof that Meg is still around, or at least it was in 1918. I wouldn't say that it's proof that it's still around. It's proof that there's some weird-ass, big, shark-like creature out there. That doesn't necessarily mean it's megalodon. In fact, I say it's highly likely that it's a whole brand new species, if it's anything, because megalodon was our site like millions of years ago. And never since? I mean, maybe. But couldn't it also just be like a new mega shark? Zane Grey's tale. Zane Grey was a well-known novelist of westerns and a deep sea angler who had a megalodon tale of his own. In his book, Tales of Tahitian Waters, published in 1931, Grey, I'm already got problems with this one because this guy's a writer. He's by himself. He's going on an adventure that he's going to write about later and he's going to sell that adventure book and make some money. He is already, like the fishermen were disincentivized because they would lose money because they were afraid of the big shark. This guy is making money from it. Maybe those fishermen also made a little money on the side by telling their story, but there's no indication of that. But Zane, he's gonna make some money. The book was published in 1931, and Gray describes his encounter with a gigantic shark in 1927 or 1928 while sailing off the coast of the French Polynesian island of Rangiroa. Gray was an experienced angler, but claims that he wasn't able to identify the large shark, much longer than his 30 to 40 foot, 9 to 12 meter fishing boat. He described the shark as yellow and green with a square head, immense pectoral fins, and white spots. What was the monster? Well, according to Gray, he encountered the mighty megalodon, and Zane wasn't the only Gray to have an encounter. Gray's son, Lauren, also claimed to have seen a gigantic shark around 100 miles northwest of Rangiroa while on board the SS Manganui with his father. When exactly this happened is a bit unclear. Some sources claim Lauren saw his shark 2 days after his father saw a shark, while other sources state that Lauren saw the shark in 1933. Well, that's a bit different. It's like either a few days or 6 years. Either way, he estimated the shark to be 40 to 59 feet, that's 12 to 18 meters long, yellowish with white flecks, a massive head, some 10 to 12 feet around 3 meters across, and a large brown tail. If that sounds like a whale shark to you, you're not the only one. Lauren Gray insisted that the monster wasn't a whale shark though, but experts disagree. Experts also consider Zane Gray's sighting to be a whale shark or an exceptionally large tiger shark, but I mean, what do those experts know, right? Right. No. Wrong. It was just this tiger shark or whale shark or whatever it was. So that was probably like the David Stead sighting, the one from before. Like, maybe it wasn't as big as they said, and maybe it was one of these other creatures. Because megalodon, it's been extinct for so long. And I'm not saying there can't be like undiscovered megalodon-sized creatures out there. I'd say there probably are. Didn't they recently discover that giant squids are real or something like that? I feel like that was a thing. So yeah, obviously there's loads of shit we haven't discovered yet. A shark eats shark world. A research team in Australia tagging great white sharks came across one of their trackers washed up on a beach around 4 months after tagging a shark. When they looked at the data, they made a surprising discovery. The recorded data showed a sudden rise in temperature and then a drop to 1,900 feet, 580 meters. Great whites can dive that deep, but it's not their usual stomping grounds. The only reasonable explanation the researchers could come up with was that their tagged shark had been eaten by something and the tracking device had been in the digestive tract or of whatever ate the great white. Of course, the immediate conclusion of all megalodon groupies was that this was irrefutable proof that a megalodon had eaten a great white. Couldn't a big-ass whale eat a great white? Or some other big, mysterious sea creature? In another incident, Jalil Nayafov spotted a 15-foot, 4.5-meter scarred great white while diving off Isla Guadalupe in Mexico. The bite mark on the shark's side was enormous. Of course, the only thing big enough to bite or eat a great white shark is Megalodon. Right? Well, no, not quite. According to scientists, it's not uncommon for great whites to bite or even eat each other. Alternatively, orcas are known predators of great whites. There we go. I knew there's going to be some... Like, great whites, they are like an apex predator, right? But a big-ass whale could eat that shit. Like, we're an apex predator, but a tiger could eat us! In 2022, drone footage taken off the coast of Mossel Bay, South Africa, caught a pod of killer whales hunting and killing a great white shark. Of course, social media is full of experts who all agree that these incidents were the work of Megalodon, since there's no definitive proof that another great white was involved. I suppose they have a point, but I'm not entirely convinced. The Black Demon of Cortez. This shark is a cryptid that actually deserves its own decoding episode, so I'm only going to touch on it very briefly. Apparently, a massive black shark has been seen off Mexico's Baja coast for years. Eric Mack, a fisherman, reported that he had had a run-in with the Black Demon when the demon rocked his boat, its tail sticking at least 5 feet out of the water. There are other explanations for this shark other than Megalodon. It could be a whale shark or a great white shark with melanism. Is that the thing that, okay, that's like the opposite of albinism or something, so it makes it dark. But many believers stand firm. The Black Demon of Cortez is none other than the mighty Megalodon. There are plenty more sightings. In the 1960s, the captain of a 55-foot, 16-meter fishing boat reported seeing a shark at least as long as his boat while at anchor for repairs off of Australia's Great Barrier Reef. In 2012, the Brazilian Coast Guard caught footage of a really huge shark passing underneath them while on a rescue operation. Understandably, everyone was a bit preoccupied at the time. They were busy saving lives after all, so they only saw the shark when reviewing the footage later. If the sightings don't convince you, fear not. Megalodon believers have more proof. However, if you believe in Megalodon, get ready for disappointment. Or like this video now, go and have a nice cup of tea, firming your belief that Megalodon is still roaming the seven seas. So, look, what other arguments do we have in favor of Meg? The not-so-extinct fish. The idea of a once-extinct animal suddenly being found is not without precedent. It's... Which Ilzra's typoed as president. It's not without precedent. Well, it is technically without precedent. It's happened once before. Every time a cryptid is mentioned, the rediscovery of this fish is presented as proof that extinct animals could still exist. They're just hiding. So, let's deal with the coelacanth in the room. Oh my god, thank you for that pronunciation guide, otherwise I'll be like coelacantha. According to the fossil records, the coelacanth went extinct around 65 million years ago. Imagine everyone's surprise when a living coelacanth was caught off the coast of South Africa on December the 23rd, 1938 by local fishermen. Yeah, I mean, to be fair, I'm kind of shitting all over it so far, but I'm mostly just shitting over the specific examples as not being, like, concrete enough. But I'm not against this thing existing. Like, the ocean is massive and deep. We don't understand much about it. James Cameron's out there doing the Lord's work. I'm sorry to all marine biologists or whatever. I know you're the ones actually doing it, and James Cameron's just, I don't know, diving for Titanic or whatever he wants to do. But I'm sorry, you're the best. Marine biologist, I feel, is one of those jobs, like, when you're a kid. I'm not sure why. It would be like, what do you want to be when you grow up? It'd be like an astronaut, movie star, marine biologist. Why? Why is that one so high up there? Don't you just have to go and spend, like, is that something that is actually a thing? Or have I just, like, misremembered that for some bizarre reason? But aren't you just going to have to go and study biology and then spend an awful lot of time on a boat getting really seasick and cold and underwater? It sounds miserable. You're probably not going to be on a tropical island picking up, like, those big shells off the sea floor and, like, prying them open with a big knife and looking for oysters or whatever. Oysters. Pearls or whatever. I don't know. That's also pearl diving, I guess. Not really the marine biologist. Let's just move on. The supposedly extinct fish was spotted by museum curator Marjorie Courtney Latimer, who sent drawings of the fish to Rhodes University ichthyologist, maybe J.L.B. Smith, who made the positive identification. Another specimen was caught in 1952 off the Comoros Islands. Local fishermen were probably aware of the coelacanth's existence long before a biologist showed up to declare the fish no longer longer extinct. However, not being experts in the field of extinct fish, they just didn't realize the significance of their lunch. A fully grown coelacanth can reach up to 6.6 feet, that's 2 meters, so it's not small. It's definitely not small, it's pretty big. However, their habitat is limited to a very specific location, mostly around the Comoros Islands, with a few specimens spotted along the east coast of Africa and off Indonesia. On top of that, they spend their days hiding out in caves, only coming out to feed at night, so they're easy to miss. While they're generally slow moving, they can move quickly should the knees need arise. It's a little lazy. I only run when I am forced to run. To get a snack. So the argument goes, if coelacanths could hide in the oceans for millions of years, why not the megalodon? The oceans are vast, and we've only explored a very small part of them. This is true, however, the coelacanth is a 2-meter-long fish hiding in caves. The megalodon is a 15-meter-long aggressive predator that's not hiding in caves. I'll leave it to you to spot the flaw in this logic. There is some logic there. I know the megalodon is really big and it's aggressive and all of that stuff, but the oceans are really big. And 2 meters is not that different from 15 meters when you compare it to the size of the ocean. And caves are generally like on shores, you know, they have to be like, people are much more likely to be near caves than they are to be in the middle of the ocean or the depths of the ocean. I think there is some logic there, Ilse. And normally you're the one who's a bit more like, Simon, come on, have a little belief in this. Come on. Today I'm on the other side. I'm like, maybe this is hanging out there in the depths. Discovery of a new species. As I've said before, and probably will say again, we've only explored a very small part of our oceans. Yeah, we just said that a minute ago. The seafloor has been mapped using satellite and sonar, but that doesn't tell us much about the denizens of the deep ocean, which means that occasionally we discover new species. The megamouth shark, holy shit, that sounds terrifying, was only discovered in 1976 by a US Navy ship off of Hawaii. At 15 feet, 4.5 meters, pretty big. However, megamouth evaded notice for many years because it lives in very deep waters, feeding off of plankton, and only comes to the surface at night. Since it doesn't hunt, there won't be carcasses washing up on beaches with bite marks out of them to act as proof of megamouth's existence. Instead, it lives away from the coastline, so the chances of people running into a megamouth shark are slim. Megalodon pups lived near the coastline. Okay, there we go. That's not good for our argument about megalodon existing. And the remains of megalodon meals probably washed up on beaches. Unlike megamouth, there would be proof of meg. And let's not forget the squids. The giant squid can reach up to 30 feet, that's 9 meters in length, and lives in the deepest parts of the ocean. Okay, cool. I felt like this was discovered. Oh, I don't know if it's discovered recently. Maybe I imagined that. While bodies of the squid have been washing up on beaches and squid have been leaving scars on whales for many, many years, the first living giant squid was only caught on film in 2014. Sorry, 2004. Okay, that was a while ago. It's been a while, but nearly 20 years. But still, that's relatively recent in like the whole term of discovering species. The colossal squid, because giant was already taken, is even bigger than the giant squid. What are we going to call the next one? Ultra colossal? Actually, probably, that does sound quite scientific, doesn't it? And was only discovered in 1925. Hopefully we don't discover another one because we're running out of words for really big. Ilse and I are hitting on the same jokes today. I know it's not so good as a listening experience, but I kind of enjoy it. It's like being in sync. Despite knowing about this considerable portion of calamari for decades, God, I love calamari. The fried squid, I love seafood. I anything like seafood, my wife hates it. She's like, I can't eat that, it's too weird, I don't like eating it. Like, I come from an island where, you know, when I was young, my parents have like a house on the beach, and there was this like a harbor where all the fishing boats would come in, and there's still all these little seafood in like little cups and stuff. So I like grew up eating all sorts of like weird shit and oysters and stuff. There was an oyster like place where they bring all the oysters in, and there's an oyster restaurant. I used all this weird shit my whole life, so I just got used to it and I love it. And my wife like comes from Czech Republic, it's like landlocked, there's no seafood, and she's like, this shit's too weird. And it's always disappointing because I'd love to eat more seafood. I'll eat calamari any chance I get. That was a fascinating tangent, Simon. Thank you so much. While the squid aren't exactly abundant, and they were only accepted scientifically in the 1900s, there was still ample proof of their existence. Sightings of these beasts probably gave rise to the many stories of the Kraken. Kraken? Kraken? I feel like it's one of those words where people were like in the comments being like, Simon doesn't know how to pronounce Kraken or Kraken or Kraken. Simon doesn't care. I probably nailed it there, right? At least one of those has got to be correct. Giant squid tentacles were found washed up on beaches. Their beaks were found in the stomachs of the predators that fed on them. And there are records of squid beaching in places like Newfoundland and New Zealand since the 19th century. However, there is a big difference between squid and megalodon. Squid are not apex predators. They're ambush predators with a very low metabolism, so they don't need much food to survive. Unlike megalodon, which was an apex predator and needed lots of food. Call me a skeptic, but I don't think the discovery of a new species is a very solid argument for the existence of megalodon. However, finding new species is always very exciting, so I look forward to see what new critters the ocean gods can come up with next. Yeah, what's James Cameron gonna find? Did megalodon evolve to live in the Mariana Trench? A video of a supposed megalodon in the Mariana Trench went viral in 2016. The footage shows a gigantic shark, at least 50 feet, 15 meters long, swimming over an abandoned shark cage. However, this was proven to be a hoax. The footage is not from the Mariana Trench. The video that went viral in 2016 was in fact filmed in 2008 in Suruga Bay off the coast of Japan. The supposed diving cage isn't a diving cage, and the megalodon is not a 50-foot monster, but a Pacific sleeper shark. However, the video did raise an interesting question. Is it possible that megalodon evolved to survive in the deepest parts of the ocean? Many megalodon groupies firmly believe this to be the case, so let's explore this theory in a bit more depth. The Mariana Trench is a canyon in the Earth's crust, running for about 1,500 miles, that's 2,400 kilometers, but it's only about 40 miles or 64K across. It's in the Western Pacific and is the deepest part of the ocean. So, many reason that it would be the perfect place for a really big shark to hide. Challenger Deep, the deepest spot in the trench, is over 35,000 feet. That's 10,600 meters deep. That is so deep. That's like the height of a plane. Like, when you're on a passenger plane, that's how high it flies. But underwater. That's so crazy. It's so deep. That's around 6,000 foot deeper than Mount Everest is tall. The temperatures in the trench are around 2 degrees Celsius, that's 35.6 Fahrenheit, and the pressure is 1,000 times more than what it is at sea level. Humans have only managed to travel to the bottom of Challenger Deep twice, and the landscape is inhospitable, to say the least. In order for Megalodon to adapt to life in the deepest, darkest parts of the ocean, it would have had to undergo quite the transformation. To date, no sharks have been discovered living in the Mariana Trench. The Greenland shark dives as deep as 7,200 feet, that's 2,200 meters, and the Pacific sleeper shark can dive to 6,600 feet, that's 2,000 meters. However, no sharks live below the 10,000 foot or 3,000 meter mark. The pressure will simply crush them. And 3,000 meters is a ways off. How deep was it? 10,600 meters? Yeah, it's four times deeper? However, let's say Megalodon managed to evolve pyzolites. Essentially, a molecule deep water dwelling creatures have that prevents the rest of their molecules from being crushed by the pressure. What? I had no idea. It would still need food. Most of the creatures living in the trench are small, adapted to survive on limited food sources, and there are just not that many of them. The deeper you go, the less populated it is. Deep sea sharks also tend to be very slow and sluggish, so unlikely to hunt the amount of food Megalodon would need. Creatures living in the deep oceans are often scavengers, eating the decaying remains of the animals and plants that sink to the bottom. This is not the diet of an apex predator. A shark that used to eat whales is unlikely to survive off the diet of sea cucumbers. Finally, if Megalodon adapted and has been playing the longest game of hide-and-seek in history, there would still be proof in the fossil record. A predator like Megalodon wouldn't simply pack its toothbrushes and other shark accessories and move on down to the deeps. It would have to evolve. Some adaptations might include an expandable stomach to store food for longer periods of time, pyzolites to prevent them being crushed, and bioluminescence or really big eyes so they could see down there, among other things. This means transitional fossils showing this evolution. However, none of them have been found. On top of that, unless Megalodon did evolve to eat plankton or small fish, it would hunt, which means signs of predation. In other words, we'd be finding whale carcasses with really big holes in them and whale bones with really big teeth in them. While this theory is highly unlikely, it does raise another point. If Megalodon managed to evolve into a very deep-sea shark eating cucumbers with krill dressing, dreaming of days its predecessors were hunting big juicy whales, would it still be a Megalodon shark? Perhaps there's an unknown shark cruising around the Mariana Trench waiting to be discovered, but I'm pretty sure it's not our friend Meg. Yeah, it would have evolved into something different. It would be completely, like, you can't be, it would have giant eyes and bioluminescence. You can't be like, it's the same. It's clearly different. I don't know what how scientists classify things, like on the evolutionary path, but obviously it happens, like Homo sapiens came around at some point, didn't we? We weren't around forever. We just didn't magic out of nowhere. How do we know Megalodon isn't around anymore? Honestly, anyone who's been paying attention so far should be able to answer this one. Yeah, we just said, like, there's no evolution in the fossil record. There's no whales washing up with, like, shark bites in them, that kind of stuff. But there are some diehard believers out there, and since crushing the dreams of the innocent is what we do on this channel, let me deliver the sledgehammer blow. Where are the teeth? From the 16th to the 18th centuries, Megalodon teeth, thought to be petrified snake tongues, okay, and known as St. Paul's tongue, were used as charms to ward off evil, dipped in drink suspected of being poisoned, and used as medicine. And our fascination with these large teeth is still going strong. We're dipping it in poison drinks. What's it gonna do, like, react to it? There's a very lucrative trade among shark teeth collectors looking for that elusive, perfect megalodon tooth. You see, sharks lose teeth just like my cat's shed fur. Some estimates range between 20,000 to 40,000 teeth in a single life. Some estimates range between 20,000 to 40,000 teeth in a lifetime. If megalodon was still around, we'd be finding fresh teeth, yet every single megalodon tooth found is over 2 million years old. And before you say it, megalodon teeth are distinctive. They don't look like great white teeth, and they are big. Someone looking for shark teeth is not going to miss a megalodon tooth. In 1873, HMS Challenger, a research vessel, dredged up two megalodon teeth from a depth of 14,000 feet, that's 4,200 meters, near Tahiti in the South Pacific. In 1959, Dr. W. Shenetsky of London's Queen Mary College dated the teeth by studying the buildup of the manganese dioxide layer on each tooth. That guy's got a big brain. Based on the dioxide deposition, Shenetsky concluded that the teeth were 11,000 and 24,000 years old, respectively. This would suggest that Megalodon only went extinct far more recently than science assumes. Extinct, as far as I'm concerned. But many a Megalodon believer use this story as proof of Megalodon's existence, so maybe they know something that I don't. However, manganese dioxide dating, especially on shark teeth, is considered unreliable, as shark teeth can withstand more erosion due to being far more durable than your typical fossil. A study in 1998 showed that the mineral crust of the manganese deposit dioxide preserved the teeth and reduced the decomposition rate, which is why the teeth appeared whiter and fresher than most megalodon teeth. As for why the teeth were found in sediment dating to around 10,000 years ago, when megalodon was well and truly gone, it's an example of reworking. The teeth eroded out of the original rock and were preserved in a newer rock. So no, the teeth found by HMS Challenger don't prove the existence of Meg. It would be really compelling before you knew. Like the more modern up-to-date science, though, wouldn't it? It makes me wonder about what shit we're getting wrong today that will just be it's going to be a lot of stuff. It's going to be so much stuff. A limited menu. Megalodon also wouldn't need to be living in the deepest parts of the ocean to struggle with finding food. The lack of prey was one of the reasons Megalodon went extinct in the first place. The decline in whale diversity due to global climate change meant less food, and that hasn't changed. Even if Meg adapted to a diet that includes more dolphins and seals, they'd still be eating whale. And if dead things with big holes in them started showing up, we'd know about it. Apex predators also control animal populations, so if Megalodon was still hunting in the oceans, our ecosystem would look very different. Without Megalodon munching away on them, among other evolutionary factors, whales have gotten much larger in body size than their predecessors. However, there are far fewer of them than there were in Megalodon's day. Lastly, the spot of top predator that once belonged to Megalodon today belongs to the great white and the orca. There simply isn't room at the top of the food chain or enough food in the oceans for poor old Meg anymore. Why haven't we seen it? This might be the biggest argument against the continued existence of Meg. Megalodon wasn't rare or elusive, it was everywhere. If it was still alive, we would have seen it by now. Juvenile Megalodon lived in coastal nurseries close to shore. Some of these nurseries have been discovered off the coast of Panama, Maryland, Florida, and the Canary Islands. Staying in the shallower waters close to the shore provided the Megalodon pup with abundant food supplies while protecting it from larger predators hunting in the deeper waters. It's theorized that the pups were at least 2 meters at birth already. Jesus. So not a baby I'd mess with. Oddly, shallow coastal regions are also quite popular with people, probably because we can't breathe underwater like our Atlantean kin. If Megalodon was still using nurseries, I find it unlikely that shark researchers would have found Megamouth, but not Megalodon Jr. On top of that, human beings are keeping a close eye on whales and sharks. While whale watching tours, shark diving, And killing sharks are all very lucrative business opportunities. If there was a big shark snacking on whales, someone on a whale-watching tour would be scarred for life by now, and engineers would have had to come up with much stronger shark-diving cages. Shark meat is considered a delicacy, and a pound of Mako shark goes for around $30 these days. A fully grown megalodon would rake in millions. Sadly, really? How's that? It's not that big. Sadly, over 100 million of these sharks are being killed every year for trophy hunting, for shark fin soup, in reaction to shark attacks, and due to sharks getting caught in trawler nets. The odds of having a shark the size of Megalodon escaping the senseless slaughter seem highly unlikely. And then we have that one pesky little detail that always trips up cryptozoologists, as we saw in the case of the Loch Ness Monster and the black cats in England. You can't just have one megalodon. If megalodon had been hiding in the oceans for the last 2.6 million years, you'd need more than one. A single shark cannot be millions of years old. You would need big megalodon sharks to make little megalodon sharks to ensure a sustainable population. If they were going extinct, that population would be smaller, but the primary way big marine animals go extinct these days is through hunting, and Megalodon has not been showing up in anyone's nets. It's a conspiracy. Would it be a Decoding the Unknown episode if there wasn't some conspiracy? There are people who believe that scientists know Megalodon is still alive, but for some reason the government is covering up the existence of the mighty Meg. This is just profoundly ridiculous. Like, I don't know, I started with a pretty open mind, and then the thing that cracks it for me is the nursery thing, like they're not near the shores, and the fact that there's no evidence of them hunting or hurting bigger whales and stuff like this. So no, I don't think it's real. I think we've thoroughly debunked this. But then to be like, the government's covering it up is just absurd. Look, I get it. The government does shady shit all the time, but you've always got to ask why. The government usually has a good reason for it. Why do they spy on everyone? Because some people are terrorists. Why do they do this? Why? There's always a reason. There's always a why. But here's like, why? 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 We're probably going to get a why, and I'm probably going to think it's nonsense. While I'm sure the government has lots of things to hide, I'm not sure how hiding the existence of the megalodon shark benefits the government. Exactly! The existence of a shark has no political or financial implications that I can see, unless someone is trying to attach freaking laser beams to sharks' heads. As for science, any scientist that can prove the existence of Megalodon without a doubt would be considered a superstar in the world of science. The biologist who rediscovered the Coelacanth, or whatever the pronunciation was, I don't remember, didn't keep it to themselves, nor were they ridiculed in the scientific community, since they could prove without a doubt that this had been rediscovered. Rediscovering the Megalodon would mean fame and possibly fortune, so no one would cover up a find like that. Why do people believe Megalodon is real? For some reason, humanity isn't happy to simply live in terror of monsters that exist. You catch a criminalist for more details. That's another show I do, check it out. So we like to invent some as well. Throughout history, the carcasses of unidentified creatures washing up on beaches fueled stories of sea monsters roaming the deep. Science has come a long way. So we know sea serpents aren't real. This means that we need a new monster, and that monster is Megalodon. Of course, the Discovery Channel didn't help matters. Fake documentaries. Probably the biggest culprit in making people believe tales of Megalodon is the Discovery Channel and their fake documentaries. Discovery Channel, what are you doing? I remember you from being a kid. You had good stuff. Don't do the History Channel thing, where it's such as nonsense and ancient aliens. Megalodon the Monster Shark Lives and its sequel Megalodon the New Evidence drew almost 4.3 million viewers, but it was all fiction. It follows a marine biologist's investigation following the disappearance of a fishing boat and other sightings and incidents alluding to the existence of a really big shark off the coast of Cape Town. However, the fishing boat never disappeared. It was completely fabricated. The photo of a whale with its tail bitten off found on a beach in Hawaii was CGI, and all the scientists and supposed witnesses were paid actors. The documentary doesn't actually find Megalodon because it's not real, but it strongly implies that Megalodon is still very much alive and swimming. There was a very vague disclaimer that it wasn't a real documentary, that most people either missed or misunderstood, but I think that was the intent. Really? Isn't this just a fun prank? Were you really trying to pass this off as something real? That's so cringy, Discovery Channel. Come on. The documentary was so bad that even cryptozoologists who believe in the existence of Megalodon were offended by the poor quality and misrepresentation of their field and science in general in an attempt to get higher ratings. The show claims there are only unproven theories of Megalodon's extinction. Okay, guys. Okay. Stop it. Definitively proving anything that happened that long ago is simply not possible. We only have unproven theories about what caused the extinction of the dinosaurs and the woolly mammoth, but you don't see them running around, do you? In his search for the truth, our fake marine biologist discovers a photo proving the existence of a very big shark, and the photo shows up repeatedly on Megalodon Exist site. So let's just torpedo that since we're already trampling over everybody's Megalodon dreams. The 1942 photo, apparently taken off the coast of Cape Town, shows a Nazi U-boat with what appears to be a really big shark cruising next to it. You can only see the dorsal fin and the tail in the background. There is nothing to help you determine how close this shark is to the U-boat, which immediately makes it impossible to say how large the thing we're seeing is. It's the perfect combination for clickbait. Extinct shark and Nazis in one photo. It'll probably be the thumbnail of this video, won't it? Aside from the fact that it somehow went unfound for 70 years, there are a number of problems with this photo. Firstly, no U-boats of this particular class were close to South African waters at the time this photo was taken. Secondly, the distance between the fins suggests a shark of around 64 feet in length. That's larger than what scientists estimate for the Megalodon, and another expert mentioned that the photo presented in the show is toned sepia, which wasn't standard at the time. A photo taken of a submarine from another submarine in the middle of the Atlantic, where this photo was taken, would have been black and white. George Monbiot, a columnist for The Guardian, pretty sure I've read his stuff. That name is super familiar. Uncovered the original footage before the Photoshop munchkins got their grabby paws on it, and lo and behold, no shark. Misidentification. Other than intellectual fraud, many Megalodon sightings are plain misidentification. Eyewitness accounts can be problematic. The combination of excitement and fear when coming across a really big shark could easily add a few feet, turning an average great white into a mighty Megalodon. On top of that, it's difficult to estimate the size of anything out at sea. On land, you got other objects like trees or buildings for comparison, but at sea, there's nothing to use for reference to give you a true idea of how big something is or how far away it is, especially if you're not an experienced sailor. Photographs can be misleading for the same reason. Not only will something in the open ocean often appear much larger than it really is, you also have to contend with the distortions caused by moving water. Basking sharks and whale sharks are already very large to start with, and the largest whale shark on record reached 61 feet. That's 18.8 meters. These guys are totally harmless, but it's no surprise they get confused with Megalodon occasionally. Finally, it's not easy to identify an animal that you're not familiar with. Decaying whale and basking shark carcasses washing up on shore are often mistaken for unidentified deep-sea critters. In 1977, a Japanese fishing trawler dredged up an unidentifiable creature from the depths. A picture was duly taken before the carcass was thrown overboard. Many conspiracy theorists firmly believe that the Zuyomaru carcass, as it became known, was evidence of a surviving prehistoric plesiosaur, and where there's one, there's got to be more, right? However, the scientific community agrees that it was the decomposing carcass of a basking shark. The shark's lower jaw and dorsal fins had already rotted away, so the remainder looked like some long-necked marine reptile. So sorry, it's not a sea monster after all. Conclusion. Fake documentaries and movies depicting sharks as evil monsters that kill anything they see without compassion is a gross misrepresentation of sharks as a whole. There are around 470 different species of sharks, and only about a dozen are dangerous to humans. Of the 470 species, a dozen too many though. Of the 470 species, only three have been responsible for fatal attacks on humans. These attacks usually occur when the shark mistakes humans for food, and most people survive shark attacks since sharks don't eat humans. They take one bite, probably get the same expression I do when mistaken. An olive for a grape, spit it out and move on. In fact, sharks mostly avoid humans. There are some reports of lions and tigers purposefully hunting humans upon learning that humans make easy prey, but there's not a single report of a shark doing the same. Okay, about 70 people are the victims of unprovoked shark attacks every year, with only 5 or less of those attacks proving fatal. I'm kind of surprised it was 5, I thought it would be less. 5 fatal shark attacks a year seems, I know, it's incredibly low. But it does seem like a lot, doesn't it? Humans, on the other hand, are killing millions of sharks every year. Who's the apex predator now? As for Megalodon, it's a fascinating shark, but it's gone. It's not hiding in the Mariana Trench eating hapless scientists. It's extinct. Mystery decoded. Perhaps one day science could bring it back, but if you've watched any of the Jurassic Park movies, you'll know that's a bad idea. No, it's too long. It's extinct too long in the past. There's no DNA left. Sharks survived the extinction event that killed the dinosaurs, multiple ice ages, and other natural disasters, but now they're losing the battle. Humans seem to be the one disaster that might end up wiping out sharks for good, so instead of obsessing over a shark that's long gone, let's focus on saving the sharks that we now have. They're not evil. They're not monsters. They're actually kind of cool. and they could use our help. Yes, nice note to end on there, Ilza. Thank you, everybody, for being here. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. If you did, smash that like button. Make sure you subscribe. And if you're listening as a podcast, leave me a review. Or don't. Whatever you fancy, to be honest. And thanks for listening.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.